ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नाउ सो अ काइंड वेलकम टू ऑल द डिवोटीज हु हैव कम फॉर दिस रेगुलर भगवद गीता क्लास। Especially want to thank Gokulananda Prabhu and his team for giving me an opportunity for my purification. The chapter of discussion for today is from chapter 14th, text 21 till 25. The title of the chapter is The Three Modes of Material Nature, text 21.
अर्जुन उवाच कैर्लिङ्गैस्त्रिन्गुणानेतान् अतितो भवति प्रभो अततिभो किम् आचर कथं चैतम् त्रिन्गुणान् अतिवर्तते।
Performed by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Arjuna inquired, O my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the modes of nature? Purport. In this verse, Arjuna's questions are very appropriate. He wants to know the symptoms of a person who has already transcended the material modes. He first inquires of the symptoms of such a transcendental person. How can one understand that he has already transcended the influence of the modes of material nature? The second question asks how he lives and what his activities are. Are they regulated or non-regulated? Then Arjuna inquires of the means by which he can attain the transcendental nature. That is very important. Unless one knows the direct means by which one can be situated always transcendentally, there is no possibility of showing the symptoms. So all these questions put by Arjuna are very important and the Lord answers them. Of course, there is a text 22 to 25. The purpose of this question asked by Arjuna is very important. What does Arjuna ask here? Arjuna asks only one question. My Lord, will you tell me who is a transcendental person? Transcendental. And now the following three verses, Krishna describes who is a transcendental person, what are his symptoms and how does he deal in this material world. So Krishna, Lord Krishna, he answers as follows.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Prakasam Cha Pravrittim Cha Moham Eva Cha Pandava Nadveshti Sampravartani Nanirtani Kankshati Udasina Vadasino Guner Yona Vichalyate गुणावर्तन्ते इति एवं यो वतिष्ठाति निङ्गते समा दुःखा सुख स्वस्था समा लोष्टास्म कञ्चनः तुल्य प्रिया प्रियो धीरस तुल्य निन्दात्म संस्तुतिः मानापमानयोस्तुल्यस् तुल्य मित्रारिपक्षयो सर्वारम्भ परित्यागी गुणाधितास उच्यते।
दिस इज द आंसर ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड टू अर्जुनस क्वेश्चन। व्हाट वाज अर्जुनस क्वेश्चन? व्हाट वाज अर्जुनस क्वेश्चन? Who is transcendental and what are the symptoms of a transcendental person? And Krishna gives three verses. Who is transcendental? What are the symptoms? It's generally seen. Suppose if we want something in our life, if we want to emulate some person, first we know what are his symptoms, how it is attained, and how does he deal in this material world. And Krishna gives the answer. The answer is as follows. Translation. The Supreme Personality of God itself, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment and delusion when they are present or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed, through all these reactions of material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone and a piece of gold with an equal eye. This is important. Who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of material nature.
Purport.
Arjuna submitted three different questions and Lord answers them one after another. In these verses, Krishna first indicates that a person transcendentally situated has no envy and does not hanker for anything. When a living entity stays in this material world, embodied by the material body, it is to be understood that he is under the control of one of the three modes of material nature. When he is actually out of the body, then he is out of the clutches of the material modes of nature. But as long as he is not out of the material body, he should be neutral. He should engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord, so that his identity with this material body will automatically be forgotten. When one is conscious of the material body, he acts only for sense gratification. But when one transfers the consciousness to Krishna, sense gratification automatically stops. One does not need this material body and he does not need to accept the dictations of the material body. The qualities of the material modes in the body will act, but as spirit soul, the self is aloof from such activities. How does he become aloof? He does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out of it. Thus transcendentally situated, the devotee becomes automatically free. He does not try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature. He need not try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature. The next question concerns the dealings of a transcendentally situated person. The materially situated person is affected by so-called honor and dishonor offered to the body. But the transcendentally situated person is not affected by such false honor and dishonor. He performs his duty in Krishna consciousness and does not mind whether a man honors or dishonors him. He accepts things that are favorable for his duty in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, he has no necessity of anything material, either a stone or a gold. He takes everyone as his dear friend who helps him in his execution of Krishna consciousness, and he does not hate his so-called enemy. He is equally disposed and sees everything on an equal level because he knows perfectly well that he has nothing to do with the material existence. Social and political issues do not affect him because he knows the situation of temporary upheavals and disturbances. He does not attempt anything for his own sake. He can attempt anything for Krishna, but for his personal self, he does not attempt anything. By such behavior, one becomes actually transcendentally situated. Hare Krishna. It was quite a long purport. Okay, the class begins. But I want the audience to even get interactive in this session. It is not I'm going to alone speak here. I want the audience to interact. So the first question to the audience. Don't worry. It is not going to be an IIT question where if you give a wrong answer, you'll be given a zero mark. No. First question. The title deals, the chapter, 14th chapter deals with the three modes of material nature. I repeat, the title deals three modes of material nature. So my question to the audience, the devotees, what are the three modes of material nature? Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. Anyone else? Good. Thank you. Anyone else? Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. In English, it is called goodness, passion and ignorance. Okay, thank you. Everything is right. What you gave was right. Congratulations. Now my next question. In your own words, don't refer to the Shastras. Tell me, what is goodness, passion, and ignorance? Goodness. In your own words, anyone, shoot. Goodness. He's in the mode of goodness here. He is in good. He is good for the others. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Goodness. He is in the mode of goodness. Kya satvik aadmi hai? Kind hearted. Knowledge. Okay, does good. Bliss. Okay, anyone else? Helpful. Everything is right. In short, goodness means he or she is good to the surroundings, for his own self. Everything is good, in the mode of goodness. His habits are good, his eating, everything is good. Passion, mode of passion. I want everyone to just, I only hear answer from one devotee. What about others? Passion means, okay, he is good, but he has some inner hidden motives. Okay, I'll be good, provided I get this. Affectionate attachment. Okay, that is also true. Selfish, affectionate attachment. Anyone else? What were you saying, sir? Ambitious. Okay. Dedication, ambitious. Yeah, everything right. Good. Everything is right. Strong desire to do something. Be someone in this world. Show someone who I am. This. And for this, I can go to any extent. This is passionate. Not satisfied at all. That is also a good one. No matter how much you have, you are passionate to earn more. Good. So you got the basic, this thing, goodness or passion. Okay, now, what is ignorance? Sleep, okay. More than necessary. Yes, it comes under the passion. Okay. Egoistic. Laziness, okay. Anyone else? Good, everything is right. I want more people. Avoidance, yeah. Bad motives, everything, yeah, exactly comes under ignorance. Ignorance in one sense is jealous, envious, everything. Ignorance in one sense is absence of goodness. Exactly, superficial approach to things. Exactly, everyone gave a right answer. Congratulations again. Now, my another question to the audience. Of these three, goodness, passion, and ignorance, which is the best? And why? Why? It is passionate to be good. Okay. Anyone else? Of these three, which one is the best and why? In what? In goodness. Okay. Goodness is best. Everyone agree? Everyone agrees? Goodness is best. Why? Lack of selfishness. Okay. Then what do you gain by lack? It is the most advanced. Okay. Anyone else? This is what I wanted. The answer was, this goodness comes to a platform where you can have an attraction to this devotional service. All those who you have come here, I can say in one sense, you have an extra mode of goodness. That's why you have that much of time to come. Okay, let us hear what is happening in this Bhagavad Gita class. Otherwise, if you go outside and tell, invite, please, there is a Bhagavad Gita class here, sir. Tell me who are interested to come inside. No one. Why? They are not in the mode of goodness. Another important point, Srila Prabhupada says, if you are in the mode of goodness and remain in the mode of goodness till the last breath of your life, there's an advantage. The next life, you will at least get a form of a human being. At least. Least come least, if you're in the mode of goodness, you'll get the form of a human being. That is very important. Now I'll tell you why this chapter is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, three modes of material nature. Why is this discussed? Why Krishna gives so much of importance to these three modes of material nature? Beyond this, then only we can attain. okay, wonderful, we have to transcend these modes of material, only then we can get attached to Krishna. Now, very nice, very nicely said. Why is Krishna giving so much importance to the three modes of material nature? First, important. These three modes, no matter who you are, if you are attached to one of those modes, anyone, even if attached to ignorance, passion or goodness, any one of the modes, first thing is that when you get attached or you're dragged by these modes give rise to your culture. Understand? This culture gives rise to your character. Character gives rise to your thoughts. And this thought gives rise to your actions. And this action is the determining factor for your next life. You got it? I'll repeat again. If you're attached to one of these modes, be it goodness, passion, ignorance, attaching yourself to one of the modes gives rise to what? Culture. Being in that mode, you develop your character. From that character gives rise to those thoughts which you are in those modes. And those thoughts give rise to your actions. And this action gives rise to your next life. That's why Prabhupada said, at least be in the mode of goodness. Because if you are in the mode of goodness, what is the advantage? What is the advantage? Prabhupada says, at least you'll be a human in your next life. Now, these modes, now let's come back to our basic day-to-day life. These modes are exhibited in our day-to-day life in thoughts. How you think about others. It will be in goodness, passion and ignorance. You think good about someone, or you are envious. If you are suppose thinking good about someone who has progressed in material life, what is it? In which modes? Good. Good. Goodness. If you are envious of someone, you are in which mode? Passion. And suppose you want to destroy that person who has progressed very well in material world. It is tamasic. That is ignorance. Kinds of thoughts. Even in visualizing, if you see objects in this material world, it comes under goodness, passion and ignorance. We hear about something or someone, it is under goodness, passion and ignorance. You speak about someone, it is in goodness, passion and in ignorance. You eat, it is in goodness, passion and ignorance. You dress, even the dress attire, the style is in goodness, passion and ignorance. You deal with the people, it is in goodness, passion and ignorance. So everything in this material world is under these three modes. Now tell me, Prabhupada says, 99% of the people in this age, in this world today, are not interested in Krishna consciousness. Why? Anyone? 99% not interested. Why? Because they are in the modes of ignorance and passion. Hardly point not 1% are in the mode of goodness. And that is why they are interested here. To come, sit in a satsang. Other people say, come on. Can you do something, you know, worthwhile rather than sitting here and hearing some nonsense? For materialistic people, it is just a waste of time. What do you get by just sitting in a satsang? Okay. Goodness is the one of the qualifications required to come to the position of God consciousness. Shishi Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai. Shishi Gopal ji ki jai. Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. Okay. A question to the audience. You go out, you are in Krishna conscious, and you go out on the street, and you meet a very plush resident of South Mumbai, and he meets you, he confronts you, and he asks you one question. And this question I am putting forward in front of the audience. Listen carefully. He says, I am a vegetarian. No onion, no garlic, no tea, no coffee, no potatoes. I don't even have anything after sunset. I don't do any harm to anyone. I always think good of everyone. My attire is very sattvic. Now tell me, why need I become Krishna conscious when I'm already in the mode of goodness? Is it necessary for me to become Krishna conscious? Now tell me, give me an answer. Is it okay just to remain in the mode of goodness? If he doesn't associate with God and God conscious people, he'll be dragged down to the lower modes. Okay, anyone else? He is in the mode of ignorance. Okay. But he is saying that whatever I am having and whatever. It binds us to the materialistic life. Anyone else? I am not hearing anyone from the backside audience. They are just... Please give me an answer. I am a vegetarian. I am not doing any harm. I am a sinless man. What is the need to become Krishna conscious? What is the harm? Have I not transcended the modes of material nature? A simple question. Aim is to overcome from the three modes of material nature. Very good. Actually, I think everyone gave the right answer. Prabhupada says, beautifully, a person came to him and said, Swamiji, you are promoting vegetarianism? I am vegetarian right from my birth. Prabhupada shot back. What is the big deal? Even the monkeys are vegetarians. But are they God conscious? My movement is not propagating vegetarianism. In short, we are not vegetarians. We are Krishnatarians. Because the modes are so strong. You take one person, for example, and if he says that I am only sattvic, I am only a sattvic, wrong. You can't be only sattvic. The modes of passion and ignorance has to attack you. For example, if you are thinking only good about someone, you never thought bad about anyone. Your thoughts may be in the mode of goodness, but actions sometimes may be in the mode of passion and ignorance. Your actions may be in the mode of goodness. You don't harm anyone. Your dealings are very clear. But your thoughts may be in the mode of passion and ignorance. Your thoughts and actions may be very good in the mode of goodness. Sometimes eating habits may be in the mode of ignorance. Everything is in the mode of goodness. But your dressing habits may be in the mode of ignorance. So one of the three has to act at every individually. So no one can say that he is totally in the mode of goodness. And no one can say that he is totally in the mode of ignorance also. No one can say that he is totally in the mode of passion also. For even an ignorant man, there is a bit of goodness within his heart. For a very good man, there is a bit of ignorance and passion within his heart. For example, it just reminded me of just 3-4 days back. I saw that... one of our office colleagues, he put on the computer and on the YouTube, he just said, just see this. And it was Ajmal Amir Kasab's Confessions. You know who is Ajmal Amir Kasab? He's famous. Famous for all wrong reasons, of course. He is the terrorist who was caught in that 26/11 massacre. And the point which I want to mention is, this was his interrogation by the Mumbai police. Just hours after he was caught from Girgaum, they took him to hospital and the interrogation began. Just hours after he did this stupid act. And he has done such a worthless act, it is totally deep in the mode of ignorance. And suddenly the police asked him in Hindi, "To, tumne ye kyu kiya? Ye bekasuron ko kyu mara? Unhone tumhara kya bigada hai? What have they done, these innocents, that you went and just shot them like mosquitoes?" And even I was shocked. This terrorist started crying. क्या करो साहब, मैं गरीब हूं और जिनको मैं मारा वो लोग भी तो इंसान है. And he started crying. So from this, I could make out what Srila Prabhupada said, that even the most ignorant man has a tinge of goodness. Of course, it may disappear after some time. That is for doubt. There is no doubt about that. But this is there. A tinge is there. Srila Prabhupada says, just being in the mode of goodness will not do. You have to transcend the mode of goodness. You have to transcend. In this regard, we will ask, see, Prabhupada in his purports has given all the answers to all our questions. So make it very clear, let us go back to his purports with some questions which we all have in our mind. So the first question, indirectly, we are going to put it to Srila Prabhupada. I just framed a little bit of questions and his answers are there in these purports. That is 14th chapter, 22nd to 25th. The first question which generally everyone asks. What are the symptoms of a person who is transcendental? Transcendental means a person who is above the three modes of material nature. Goodness, passion, and Prabhupada writes beautifully. Anyone may say, "Arey, ye to kya transcendental aadmi hai? Arey, he is a great devotee. Arey, he is a very, very great bhakt. Arey, he is a big sannyasi. Oh, he is a big sage." In Prabhupada's own words, who is transcendental? And Prabhupada writes, Krishna first indicates that a person transcendentally situated has no envy and does not hanker for anything. Clear? What are the symptoms of a person who is transcendental? Two qualities. What are those? He has no envy and he doesn't hanker for anything. Simple. He is transcendental. One-liner definition of a transcendental personality. No envy, no hankering. Because generally it is seen, when we see someone's, you know, someone very materially opulent, first thing is we become envious. Why did he get this? Second is, when am I going to get it? This is not a symptom of a transcendental person. Second, when is a living being understood to be under the mode of nature? When is a living entity understood to be under one of the three modes of material nature? And Prabhupada answers very beautifully. When a living entity stays in the material world, that means everyone here, everyone outside, everyone inside is Mumbai, everyone outside this earth, everyone in this entire globe, nay, the entire universe. Prabhupada writes, when a living entity stays in this material world, embodied by the material body, it is to be understood that he is under the control of one of the three modes of material nature. No one is spared, be it from the Prime Minister of India, to a urchin in the street, to the biggest cricket star, to the biggest movie star, or to the President of America. Everyone is under one of the three modes of material nature. Then, when can a living entity get out of the modes of material nature? And Prabhupada writes beautifully here. When one is actually out of the body, then he is out of the clutches of the modes of material nature. In one sense, when a living entity is liberated, goes back to Godhead, he is out of the modes of material nature. And another question. What should he do if one is not out of the material body? And Prabhupada writes here beautifully. As long as one is not out of the material body, he should remain neutral. What is the meaning of neutral? And Prabhupada writes here, he should engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that his identity with the material body will automatically be forgotten. So the only solution here to get out of all the modes of material nature is what? Krishna conscious. Even though it may be goodness, even though it may be passion, even though it may be ignorance, Everything is in the material world. Suppose you want to get out of this material world, out of the modes, only solution is Krishna conscious. No matter how much he says, I am in the mode of goodness, I am a vegetarian, I am this and that and so on and so forth. No, sorry. If you are not Krishna conscious, if you are not following Krishna's path, this is the problem. You will stay again in this material world. Other modes will drag you down. And good example is Srila Prabhupada himself. When he went to the West, when he tried preaching here in India, Indians thought they didn't know everything about Krishna. Krishna, I know, he's in Mathura. And Rama, I know, he's in Ayodhya. And this, I know that. And it was difficult for the Indians to be preached. So he went to the Western world. And there, you know, everyone was steeped in goodness. Everyone there was steeped in goodness. No. They were deep in the ocean of ignorance and passion. They had no particular eating habits. Whatever you eat, whatever you get, you eat. Sleeping habits, no matter how much you want to sleep, you sleep. And forget about mating habits. Anyone will do. And defending habits, it is very famous. America is good for defense. So they were steeped in the mode of ignorance. Now how can... So it was a big challenge for Srila Prabhupada to just rise these people from this deep ocean of ignorance to passion, to goodness and above goodness. How to do that? It was a big challenge. Because if you tell them many don'ts, no one is going to come to the temple. Know this, know this, know this, know this. I forget it. I'm sorry. I can't follow all these don'ts. If you tell them about the eating habits, know this, know this, know this. Who is going to come? If you tell them about the dressing habits, no one is going to come. Because they didn't have any dressing habits. So what Prabhupada made? He made a nice... That's what a greatness of an acharya. He looks at the time, place and circumstances and the people. And he gives a good solution. He didn't say any no. He said, whatever you are doing, continue. Continue. In one of his lectures in New York, it was initial lecture in 1967. He said, my dear American boys and girls, I request, I accept, I only expect from you only two things. Only two things from you American boys and girls. I don't expect much from you. As an old man, I can die at any time, any moment. I expect only two things from you. He said, remember, my dear children, this tongue which God has given to you, only utilize this tongue for doing two things. Whatever you put it in your mouth, any eatables, that eatable should be offered to Krishna. In one sense, in short, have only Krishna Prasad. And second, from this tongue, don't talk any nonsense. Talk only things which are related to Krishna, about Krishna, and chant his holy name. I expect only these two things from you, my dear boys and girls. I pray, I beg, I request you. And when these small children, means all these teenagers, started doing this, whatever was eaten, it was eaten only Krishna Prasad. Whatever was spoken, only Krishna consciousness relating to Krishna and topics about Krishna and Krishna's holy name. Automatically, those who were in the modes of ignorance and passion, they came slightly above to the mode of goodness. Why Prabhupada uses intelligence? Because whatever you put in your mouth, it will be Krishna Prasadam. And if it is Krishna Prasadam, it will be offered to Krishna. And what is offered to Krishna? No non-veg. No onion and garlic. No tea and coffee. So ultimately they became vegetarians. Second, no intoxication. Ultimately they followed another regulative principle. No intoxication. And when only Krishna Prasadam is tasted by the tongue and chanting of the holy name is done by the tongue. Second, the stomach is regularized and even the genitals are regularized. So there is no question of illicit sex. And ultimately, when your consciousness is clear, there is no question of gambling. So indirectly, by telling them these two things, follow only these two things, my dear children. Ultimately, they started following all the four regulative principles. See the intelligence of an acharya. He gave them the highest by telling them only to follow. And in one of the lectures, just remember, take home message for all those who are sitting here. Prabhupada said in 1968 in New York. He said, my dear children, you can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can realize His presence, the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though His name is Ajita. What is the name of Ajita? Anyone? Ajita. One of the names of Lord Krishna is Ajita. Cannot be conquered. Cannot be conquered. He cannot be conquered. He's unconquerable. He said, that unconquerable Supreme Lord can be conquered by any one of you. I assure you. How? And he said, just use this tongue for only two purposes, my dear children. What are those two things? Tongue. Two purposes. Anyone? What are those two things? Just have Krishna Prasad, and second, and speak and chant and think about Krishna and talk about Krishna. I assure you, Prabhupada said, I assure you, 100%, you will see Krishna face to face. See the assuring capacity of an acharya. Just this tongue, I don't want anything, I don't expect anything from you. This tongue should be used for only dual purposes. Chanting about Krishna and having only Krishna. You will conquer the unconquerable. You will conquer the Supreme Lord. You will see Krishna face to face. Krishna will talk to you in this very life. Has anyone given that much of 100% guarantee? No. This is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Anyone can do it. Anyone can become a pure devotee. Who is stopping all from becoming a pure devotee? That is the reason when Prabhupada took all his disciples to Vrindavan. So the local Mahants and Pandas, they became very angry with Srila Prabhupada. He said, kya Swamiji, aap ye sab mlech, yovan, jati ke jo maas machi khane wale ko brahman bana diya. In short, they were getting fearful about their secure, they were getting insecure. Now who is going to come to us when you are making them as brahmins? Prabhupada challenged all the Mahants in Vrindavan. He said, aap apne 500 brahman ko ek jagah mein khade karo. और मैं मेरा एक शिष्य को यहां पे खड़ा करता हूं, देखते कौन शुद्ध है। आप इतने साल से ब्राह्मण की जो बोलते हो, एक बीड़ी भी छोड़ पाए? हैव यू ऑल गिवन अप इवन वन स्मॉल बीड़ी? सेइंग दैट यू आर ब्राह्मण्स बाय वेयरिंग अ 25 पैसा थ्रेड, हैव यू गिवन अप योर बीड़ीज? बट हियर आर माय डिसिपल्स हु हैव गिवन अप एवरीथिंग। दैट इज हाउ यू कैन कम आउट ऑफ द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर। So in conclusion, for the last 10 minutes, the next question of the dealings of a transcendental situation, how does a person who is above the modes of material nature, how does he deal in this material world? When I read this purport, it reminded me of one personality from the Mahabharata. Mahabharata. It's one personality. Especially, here, he is equal in honor and dishonor, praise and blame. He is equal in every situation and circumstance. It reminded me of one personality of the Mahabharata. Just guess, I'll just give you a hint. You just guess, who is that personality? So that we can go for another 10-15 minutes about him. He is that personality, when the Lord wound up his pastimes in this earthly planet, he remembered this devotee. He is a personality from the Mahabharata, a very great devotee. Who? Bhishma. Okay. But he was not in the war. Another hint. Krishna can't be in the three modes of material nature. He is above. Is a devotee. Krishna remembered him as he was about to wind up his pastimes in this earthly kingdom. Not the Pandava. He was not in the war. As the war was about to begin, he left Hastinapur. Who was that? It is Vidura. Vidur. Anyone knows who is Vidur? Minister. Anyone else? Anyone knows? Just tell me who doesn't know it, because I'll just give a brief introduction about Vidur. You don't know Vidur? Yeah. He is Yamraj in this Actually, he is Yamraj who has come as Vidur. Okay. The the situation is such, it happens that the ruler, the king of Hastinapura at that time was Maharaj Shantanu. He had one son, born of Ganga. Who is the name? What is his name? He was Bhishma, Devavrat. So one day, father got a desire to marry another girl. So Devavrat said, father, you marry. But the girl's father said, how can it be? If Devavrat marries, then there will be a fight for the throne. So Devavrat, Bhishma said, I am not going to marry. I am going to be a brahmachari. Naishtika brahmachari, akanda brahmachari. So Shantanu married this girl, Satyavati. From Satyavati came two sons, Vichitravir and Chitrangada. Chitrangada left his body early, he died early. For Vichitravir, Vichitravir married two princes from Kashi, Ambika and Ambalika. But it was unfortunate, even Vichitravir died early. There was no one to look after the throne, there is no heir apparent to the throne. And Bhishma had taken a promise, I will never sit on the throne, I will support anyone who comes to the throne. That is my promise to his father, Shantanu. So Satyavati comes to Bhishma, Bhishma, my dear son, please, now you should marry Ambika and Ambali. He said, no mother, I can't, I am a brahmachari. So Satyavati thinks what to do. She remembers another son she had from Parashara Muni. And it was Maharishi Vyas. Because Vyas had told his mother, mother, whenever you are in difficulty, just remember me, I'll be there for you. She remembered Vyas, Vyas, please, my son, you have to be here at Hastinapur. Within seconds, he was there in the palace. He came inside, said, my dear son, princes, they are barren, they don't have any kids. You should propagate the population of Hastinapur. He said, my dear mother, I am coming from a tapasya place. I am just in a deep tapasya. I have done austerities. Give me some time for some refreshments so that I can freshen up and come in front of them. Because by my yogic power, I can impregnate any woman. By my yogic power. But seeing my face, they may get frightened. So you just give me some time. Satyavati said, my dear son, I am sorry. Hastinapur doesn't have time for refreshments. It is urgency. Okay, call the princess inside the room. So the first one to enter the room was Ambika. She entered the room. She had never seen Maharishi Vyas. And when Maharishi Vyas looked at her, she was frightened. She closed her eyes. Maharishi Vyas told her to go out. He came in front of Satyavati and said, sorry, mother. The child which is born to this lady will be blind. Because mother closed her eyes when I was about to give her the yogic shakti. Mother said, okay, take Ambalika. Throw Ambalika. Please, my dear daughter, don't close your eyes. So the Ambalika entered the room. When she entered, she tried much as she can not to close her eyes. But when she saw that ugly form of tapasya of Maharishi Vyas, she became frightened, started sweating, and became pale yellow. Maharishi Vyas, through his yogic power, he impregnated her, came out of the room and said, congratulations, mother. This child will be not blind, but he will have a yellow disease. He will have a Panduroga. Now what to do? There was one maid servant who had accompanied Ambika and Ambalika from Kashi when they were married. So Satyavati said, you go inside, my dear daughter. When she enters the room, on seeing Maharishi Vyas, she offers her obeisances. Maharishi Vyas, through his tremendous yogic shakti, impregnates her. He comes out of the room and congratulates Satyavati. Thank you, mother. This child will be the future of Hastinapur. He will be the one who will guide Hastinapur out of a lot of trials and tribulations. He will be the guiding force for the king. His niti will be sung for many years after his disappearance also. Who was that son? Who was that child? That was Vidur. In one sense, he was the younger brother of Dhritarashtra, Pandu, both of them. So as they were growing up under the able guidance of Bhishma, Vidur was always under Bhishma and he would guide, especially his eldest brother, Dhritarashtra, because he was blind. He would, brother, no, not this way, this way. Brother, no, this way, this way. And ultimately, after Pandu left his body, it was Dhritarashtra to whom this throne was given. And ultimately, the ruler, the mantri, was Vidur. Vidur was the mantri. He would guide him everywhere. No, brother, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way. This is the way. And you know the story. From Pandu came who? 5 Pandavas. And from Dhritarashtra came the 100 Kauravas. You can say Vidura was in between the tug of war. He was with Dhritarashtra, but he was pulled towards the good qualities of the Pandavas. But what to do? Since he was a mantri, he has to be with Dhritarashtra. A situation arose in Hastinapur where the Pandavas were exiled for how many years? 12 years of Vanvas and 1 year of Ajnatvas. After the end of 13 years, they were in Upaplavya and they sent a message to Hastinapur from Yudhishthira. My dear father, we have completed a term of exile. Now we are coming back for a rightful claim. Do as you please. That time Duryodhan said, sorry father, they have not completed their terms of exile. They have to again go back because that was his plan. Always send them in the forest. Ajnatvas means you first identify them, again send them for 12 years of Vanvas and 1 year of Ajnatvas. You should not be given any, nothing should be given to them. Then Krishna intervenes. He comes as what? To Hastinapur. He comes as a peace messenger, Shantidut. He comes and he says, give them, forget Indraprastha. No Indraprastha. Duryodhan doesn't want Indraprastha. Let him keep Indraprastha. Give them 5 villages. And what was the answer of Duryodhan? I will not give him that much of land which can drive a point of a needle. Want anything from me? Fight. Or get out. Only 2 options. Fight or get out. And that time, Vidura, he opens his mouth. He tells his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, my dear brother, today I am telling you, not as a king, as your brother. If you want to save the Kuru dynasty, give them their rightful claim. Give Pandavas their rightful claim. They are not asking for anything. Just give them their rightful claim. Yudhishthira is Ajata Shatru. He doesn't have any enemies. Forget even 5 villages which Krishna has asked. I am telling you, give them 1 field. Ek khet de do bas. Yudhishthira will be satisfied. Just give them one field. He will be satisfied. At that moment, this is a turning point. That moment, who gets up? Duryodhan. He says, you fool. You son of a kept mistress. You dasi putra shudra, you crook. Today you have that much of audacity to spit on that same plate for so many years of having the same food. The plate of the Kauravas. Get out from here. And he called the guards. Guards, kick this man out of this palace immediately and leave him with only his breath. Breath bole to, in one sense, strip him of all his possessions. At that moment, Vidura, he leaves Hastinapur. That house, that palace, that place where he was born and brought up under the able guidance of Bhishma was given up. He put on a robe of a mendicant and started traveling all over India, length and breadth of India, going to all the places of pilgrimage. War took place. Pandavas won. Yudhishthira became the emperor of this entire planet Earth. But Vidura kept on traveling all over India. Finally, he comes to the bank of Yamuna in Vrindavan. And there he meets Uddhav. And he says, will you please tell me the teachings? Some Krishna Katha. He says, my dear Vidura, I am younger to you in age. I am not in that capacity to tell you. You go to Maitreya Muni. He will tell you about Krishna Katha. And as Uddhav was about to leave, he told him, Vidura, do you remember? Yes, what? When Krishna was winding up his pastimes in this earthly planet, earthly realm, he remembered you as a pure devotee. And when Vidura heard that Krishna remembered him, he started crying. See, for us to remember the Lord is so difficult. Here the Lord is remembering his pure devotee. And then he went to the banks of Haridwar and there he met Maitreya Muni. And they spoke Krishna Katha for a long time. So all the questions, Vidura asked one question. Will you please tell me what is the situation in Hastinapur? Because it has been many years since I have been to my hometown and my house there. I have traveled the length and breadth of this country, but I have not been to Hastinapur. Will you please tell me what is happening in Hastinapur? At that time, Maitreya Muni says, in Hastinapur, you know what is happening? Your Yudhishthira is the emperor of the world, the whole planet Earth. And what about my elder brother? Oh, Dhritarashtra. He's still there in Hastinapur, an old man. From Haridwar, when Vidura heard that his elder brother is still there in Hastinapur, he proceeds, he starts walking. Towards where? Towards Hastinapur. Mahabharata says, the day when he was insulted by Duryodhan, Vidura had left Hastinapur. He traveled the length and breadth of this country and he came back to Hastinapur after how many years? Can anyone just imagine? How many years he came to Hastinapur? Just a guess. How many years? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, how many? 250, anyone else? 100, anyone else? 20, okay, anyone else? Mahabharata says, he came to his palace, to his hometown, after 36 years. Imagine a person leaving your house, and he comes after 36, will you be able to recognize him? He came on the outskirts of Hastinapur as a mendicant with a saffron robe. And lo and behold, who was there at the gates to welcome him? Who were there at the gates? The five Pandavas, the emperor of the planet Earth, Yudhishthira, with the earthen pot, with the sacrificial water, along with his four brothers, with umbrella, with a chamara fan, along with your beautiful wife Draupadi, with a garland, with chandan. All the welcoming paraphernalia. Welcoming whom? Kaka Vidur, the emperor coming to the gates, the first thing they did on seeing Vidura, they all offered their obeisances and touched his feet. Yudhishthira said, my dear uncle, it was only because of you that we were saved from so many calamities. We were about to be burned in that house of lakh at Varnavrat. It was because of your timely intervention we were all saved. We were orphans, but you were the guiding light, you were the wings for these orphan birds. My dear uncle, this kingdom, Hastinapur, is yours. Rule this kingdom. I will go according to your say. Please, welcome. After 36 years, a royal welcome to Vidur. He entered the palace. That same palace where he was born and brought up. Those same household furnitures. Those same memories being under Bhishma. Those same royal opulences. He stayed there for eternity. What did he do? He said, Yudhishthira, he told Yudhishthira. Did he tell Yudhishthira? Okay, give me the most comfortable room because I have traveled for 36 years. The best air-conditioned one with all the servants. At my beck and call, I just snap my fingers and they are at my service. No. He entered the room. He got all the hospitality which the Pandavas gave to him. But he had come for another purpose. What was the purpose? Anyone? He had come for his elder brother Dhritarashtra. Here, There is a chapter in the Bhagavatam called Dhritarashtra Quits Home in the first canto. If you can know, if you just have Bhagavatam, just Dhritarashtra, in the first canto, there is the chapter Dhritarashtra Quits Home. And in that chapter, the significance of this chapter is, when Prabhupada wrote the purport for this chapter, Prabhupada had quit home. He had become a vanaprastha. So in that particular chapter, every word is loaded with renunciation. Because he had quit home. Prabhupada had quit home. So when he came to the chapter of Dhritarashtra, every purport is loaded with renunciation. There he says, Prabhupada says, 5,000 years ago, there was only one Dhritarashtra who didn't want to give up home. Vidura had to come to kick him out. Today in this age, there is Dhritarashtra at every home. Old man doesn't want to leave the house in spite of all the insults put on by all his grandsons or grandchildren, even by his sons. No one wants an old man. Please stop your nonsense. Sit in old place and watch TV. You don't have to get into the household business. So when Prabhupada wrote the Dhritarashtra, he wrote it with a lot of renunciation. So when Vidura got all this comfort by all the Pandavas, as the night set in, he entered the inner chambers. Whose chambers? Dhritarashtra's chambers. And this old man, the blind man, coughing. At that time, Vidura enters. He said, "My dear brother, did you recognize me? I am your Vidur. Did you recognize me, my dear brother? I am your Vidur." Vidur. Imagine, after 36 years, a personality comes to you and says, "You recognize me? I am this and that, so on and so forth." Will you recognize? It will take a long time. This person was blind. What about his memory was dull. "Brother, I am your Vidur. Your brother Vidur. The person who always speak the truth to you, they are Vidur. Did you recognize me? Vidur. Vidur. Oh, Vidur. Where were you? So many years have passed. Where were you, my dear brother Vidur?" He said, "I am here in front of you. But what are you doing, brother? You are like a dog eating the remnants thrown by the Pandavas. Don't you have any shame? When will that renunciation dawn upon you? When will you give up home? You have become invalid. You have become a burden on the Pandavas. Don't you have that much of shame? You are a born Kshatriya. You are behaving like a dog. Don't you have any shame?" And when this was said, he was a Kshatriya. Dhritarashtra was a Kshatriya. His blood started boiling. "Okay, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. I can't bear the insult. Tell me what to do. Any positive suggestion?" "Only thing you can do is get out of this place immediately. Get out. Get out. Get out. Enough of your attachment. Get out." "But I have not told Yudhishthira." He said, "No need to tell Yudhishthira. Because if you tell Yudhishthira, he will not allow you to come out. Leave immediately. You have to be detached. You have already many sins on your part. Leave this house immediately." That time Gandhari also comes. Even Kunti comes. And through their mystic yoga, Vidura takes them by airways that same night and proceeds to the Himalayas. There, at a place where Ganga divides into 7 tributaries, Sapta Srota, he tells Dhritarashtra to meditate and give up his body. Dhritarashtra meditates and gives up his body. Gandhari gives up her body. And even Kunti gives up her body. You know, how many days did Vidura stay in Hastinapur? After that royal honor and welcome, how many days? He didn't stay. It is said in Manisha, he stayed only for one night. They left. This is the quality of a person who is above the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. When you are dishonored by Duryodhan, you don't care. You leave for pilgrimage. And when you are honored by Yudhishthira, telling him to go and sit on the throne and rule over, you are not bothered. Because your desire is only one, to spread Krishna consciousness and be Krishna conscious. That is the quality of a person who is above the modes of material nature. And this can be had by any one of us here. If you do only two things, as Prabhupada said in New York, what? Tongue, what to do? With this tongue, do only two things. Have Krishna prasad and whatever you speak, anything, it should be related to Krishna. Chant about Krishna, speak about Krishna. No nonsense. Then we can have the same position as that gotten by Vidura, as that gotten by Ambarish Maharaj, as that got by the Pandavas. That is, Lord is Ajita, but he can be conquered by devotion. Thank you very much for your kind patience and attention. Any questions or any comments, anything? Quite welcome. Anyone? No questions? Only two things are possible if there are no questions. One thing, the audience have understood everything and no doubts there in their heart. Second, not understood anything. So where's the point of asking a question? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We'll have Kirtan now.